Hey, this is Tom Waddle. Thanks for listening to the Waddle and Sylvie podcast brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN 1000 Virtual Fantasy Football Championship.
From State Street and the First Midwest Bank Studio, this is WMVP Chicago, ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports. You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Having a bunch of fun today, and we got a lot to go. If you want to react and join the party, it's 312-332-3776. We have one of the closest poll questions we've had this year. We'll reintroduce that here in the 5 o'clock hour. I still have to share my gambling story. Out of all bets on my first day, I was gifted one yesterday. The first one that I've legally done on my own.
It doesn't count. Like, if it was a gift, that really doesn't... I mean, it counts in your account balance, but do you really consider that, hey, guys, listen, I won a bet yesterday?
On DraftKings, they were offering the Lakers on Kobe Bryant Day, 824. They were offering the Lakers plus 81 points. So they basically gifted you. You could bet as much as $50, which I obviously did, and you won 45. So they what DraftKings basically did yesterday was for anybody. This wasn't for new users. It was good for anybody. All you had to do was opt in and take the Lakers, and it was glorious.
Was that Carm's best play on Odds Couple?
He probably. It was my best play ever, and it was the day that I didn't need the 81 points. Because the Lakers won going away anyway.
Hey, listen, there was a time when I thought that may have been in jeopardy.
Oh, the series?
No,
but not yesterday.
No. I mean, like in the first quarter, they were up 25. So that equates to if they're up 25 in every quarter, you could have lost that bet.
No, the Lakers were given 20.
I thought they were minus 20.
What was the Lakers minus 81 or plus 81? It was like plus. The easiest bet ever. It was plus 81.
Okay.
They gifted you $45.
Right,
yeah. There was no way they were going to blow it.
Right.
So it was a good promotion. Okay. And I've got it handy now, and maybe I'll do
some
more.
What are you going to bet on today?
Well, I think I'm going to start gambling more during games, live betting. Because, by the way, kudos to Doug Kazarian. He was just re-upped by ESPN. Local guy and a guy who's been on our show a lot.
He slid into his DMs to congratulate
him. Oh, did you? Nice.
Yeah.
He's moving to Vegas, too. They're moving the gambling show to Vegas. And, like, he's gotten me into more live gambling. So it's just another way for me to lose more money now. But
just keep it, like, just for fun, just for interest. 10, 20 bucks a time.
Yeah. I'm going to bet like Merkin. I'm just going to, Just to keep it fun. You're exactly right. Just to have some.
I'm going to sign up too.
Yeah. It's really good. And we're both DraftKings guys. Let's bring in Jesse Rogers right now, who joins us to talk some Cubs. He joins us on the Corona Hotline. What's going on, Jesse?
Feeling good, boys. How about you guys?
We're doing well. I felt much better after yesterday's game. I was happy the Cubs salvaged one any way possible against the White Sox. And I don't care. Like, I'm not one of these guys where I need the Cubs to be the number one power-ranked team because they're beating the best teams. In a year where the Central is playing the Central, a win against a team that you're playing is a win. And I don't need it to be a beauty contest.
Yeah, it's a good point. But, you know, Tommy, you brought this up during their first little run when they were playing well. They really weren't beating good teams. Are we in that mode right now? They're playing the Tigers. Now, the Reds are supposed to be good. That's who's next. They're not very good. And after that are the Pirates, not very good. So, yeah, I get it. You're right. It's not a beauty contest. But you do try to extrapolate towards October. Can they beat the good teams based on the way they're playing? And they play like last night, yes, getting hits with runners on base, something we talked about and you guys talked about yesterday. That's great. But you just wonder if they're good enough to beat the good teams. And I think that's a good question. It's a good question. But let's not dismiss the fact that they're beating the teams they should beat. The aforementioned Reds are not doing that, for example. The Brewers, for the most part, are not doing that. They just got swept by the Pirates before last night. So it's that glass half full or half empty perspective about the Cubs. And don't you think we've had it for the last couple years with this team? They're good, but you know, you just don't know.
I'm with you, Jess. I put their chances of getting to the postseason at 100% late last week. I just don't know how damn good they are. I wouldn't put my money on them taking a deep ride into the postseason, but who knows? What do you expect Quintana to actually do now that he's back? Will he be in the bullpen exclusively? Will he make starts? What is your expectation?
No, I think he'll start in the bullpen, just feel him out, feel it out a little bit, stretch him out a little as well, and then he'll make a few starts. I mean, they have two doubleheaders coming up over the next two Saturdays. So let's say he gets some work in today. Today's Tuesday. It would fit that he might start one of those seven-inning doubleheaders on Saturday against the Cincinnati Reds, because he's not going to throw 100 pitches tonight. So that is a possibility. I do think he's going to find his way back in that rotation somehow, but I think you got to leave yourself open. They don't have a lot of lefties in the bullpen. If he has success there, he's only made four appearances in his career out of the pen, but if he has success there, not going to rule it out. Alzolay looked good as a starter, so if they need to spot him again, you may want to ride that a little bit. But tonight's a big, big night for Chatwood and Quintana, both coming back from injury. Chatwood, you know, more recent, obviously just down for 10 days here. Quintana since the beginning of the season. So let's see what these guys have. You would think, you know, you guys have heard me the last 2 years. They are not deep enough to win without some of these guys that have a resume. So I think they need Chatwood. They need Quintana in whatever role they deem necessary to have success. But I do think Quintana is going to get a start soon enough. That doesn't rule out the chance of staying or going back to the bullpen, because like I said, they need lefties there. He is a lefty. They're pretty full in the rotation if everyone's healthy. The trade deadline's coming up, so that's going to play a part in this thing. I expect them to get a lefty like they have over the last couple years, and we'll see, Tommy. So I think it's still to be written what his exact role is, but I don't necessarily see him as that eighth inning guy to get Joey Votto out or something like that.
Right.
But a lengthy guy, because that was what Mills was going to be, that's possible out of the bullpen.
Isn't it a fantasy to think that you could get anything for him right now in a trade? Like, he's coming off of surgery. You got a month left in the season. Like I said earlier, and kind of like how you explained, I believe you get more out of Quintana possibly than anything you can get in return.
Yes, I agree with that. And Theo and Jed's MO has been to sort of go for it in whatever manner, you know, whatever that means when their team is in first place or near it. They are not going to sell at 18-10, I don't believe. And certainly they're not going to sell from an area of the team that they don't have a lot of depth in. The moment you trade Quintana is the moment Chatwood goes down again or Mills comes back down to earth. You just don't trade from pitching when you don't have a lot of depth there and you're in the pennant race. It may not be the smartest thing. Like if there was a deal on the table, maybe you should do it. But you're right. Who are they going to get back? An A-plus prospect for Jose Quintana with 1 month till free agency? Probably not. So he's probably more useful to you than in a trade. You listen, you make sure you're not missing something, and you move on from there. But I think they need all the pitching they can get.
Jesse, would you blow in a call to Cleveland right now just to see if they're at their wits' end with Zach Plesac? Like, usually a deal wouldn't be made now. But just in case, with the frustration going on both sides, would you see if you can get him in a deal?
Absolutely. Or Clevinger. Absolutely. I would do that. I think that they're probably exploring that as well as everybody else that's on the table. You know, I think the San Francisco Giants are a good trade partner with Scott Harris there. But those two pitchers are a little bit higher level than probably you would normally be able to get out of a contending team like Cleveland. So, yes, I would look into that. Now, they have talked about the idea of bringing in the right person. So you better be sure that these guys aren't going to break protocols again if you bring in either one of them. I would assume you guys talked to Dan. I don't know if you talked to him about Zach, but like I would assume the guys learned his lesson, right? Both of those guys. But you have to be sure of that before you bring them into a first place team.
Yeah, no doubt. Did Javi flip the switch last night?
Seems like it. It definitely seems like it. And the telltale sign is the way he used the field. Right field, center field, left field. Now, again, a little bit easier pitching than he might face against another better team, whatever the case may be. But everybody was getting him out previously, right? Ronaldo Lopez and Gio Gonzalez. I mean, those guys aren't going to the All-Star game or Hall of Fame, right? So, yes, I think maybe finally something happened. When he goes to the right side, like a lot of right-handed hitters, it's very telling. So let's see what happens. He has to back it up, but there's a run left in Javi Baez for sure. And let's say it was a bad first month, but the second month is a good one. That will be huge because they are not hitting left-handed pitching. They face a righty tonight, but Baez is a guy that has to crush lefties. And if last night was the start of something, that could be huge for the Cubs in the final month.
Jesse, what's the latest on Bryant?
He's working at Wrigley Field, but it's way too early to know if he's going to be eligible when or come off when he's eligible this weekend. He can come off the 30th, but I think he needs the full week to get better. I mean, the fact that they put him on after him missing 4 or 5 days was telling. It wasn't getting better. So I think it's too early to know if he's going to be ready this weekend. But I know that he wants to be ready for that final push. Whatever, if that's 20 games, if that's 25, like, come back at 100%. The Cubs aren't losing the division anytime soon. But they, you know, to make that playoff push and to be healthy in October, he needs to, you know, stay out of the lineup until he's 100%. We've seen this with him. He'll try to play through it. It doesn't work, and then he has to sit out. So he's doing it now. Probably should have done it from the get-go, but in any case, he should be ready, hopefully, for the final month.
Is this his final push? Like, when he comes back, will those be the final games he plays in a Cubs uniform?
My guess is yes, but I thought he would have been traded last offseason. I can't imagine this team goes into spring training with all those guys, you know, possible free agents. We talked about Javi Baez. Still think it's more likely than less that he'll sign in the offseason. You still have Schwarber. You still have Rizzo. You have Bryant. I'm going to say yes to that, that it is his last push. But look, I thought he was going to be gone by now, so I guess anything's possible.
Any thoughts on Kimbrel? I mean, where are they at with him? Are they getting more confident? Did the, you know, did the hiccup this weekend cause them to feel less about him? Where are they at with him?
Well, I think that they're not ready to hand him the ball in the ninth inning in a one-run game. They might give him a little, you know, when Wick and Jeffress aren't available, then he's your next best option. And we've seen him perform pretty well. Now, he got saved again the other day, but there's two steps forward, one step back with him right now. 2 weeks ago, it was the other way around. It was one step forward, two steps back. So the confidence is still growing. There's still a lot to like, but he's not there. You can't hand him the ball in a big situation, I don't believe. Now, they're 18-10. So you when I mean big situation, I mean if today was the start of the playoffs. But they have a game or two. They can, you know, they have a little leeway here they can live with if need be, but only if Wick and Jeffress have been used up. So I still think there's progress to be made. He's not quite there yet. And I said that to you even when he was going well a few days ago.
Jess, I'm interested how the Cubs handled the series with the Sox. Obviously, it's just a three-game series. But was it something that was, you know, that you could feel a little extra pressure in that series and the appreciation? Could you see an appreciation for who the White Sox are coming from the Cubs?
Oh, absolutely. Without a doubt. Rizzo, Baez. I think the line I used in my piece, Schwarber, to end my article was, they're a good team, no if and or but about it. And that's it. I mean, it is right in front of them. Now, we must say the Sox were riding high coming into the series, and throughout that series, the Cubs were in a slump. Those two things are true. It doesn't mean the Sox are going to go further in October than the Cubs. But in that moment, they certainly look like the better team and obviously the team that has probably a better future. And that's okay. They're finishing the rebuild. The Cubs are kind of at the end of their run. It's just two teams in two different spots. But, yeah, there was a complete appreciation by the Cubs for what the Sox are building there. And you got to give the Sox credit. They did not let off the gas until Yu Darvish, you know, kind of sliced them up on Sunday. But they came out of that Detroit series and kept it going. So now let's see what they do after the Cubs series. Like, there's always these moments where the Sox might lose a little edge. And so far, so good. We saw them against the Cardinals in the doubleheaders kind of lose it and then get it right back. So let's see, coming off the loss on Sunday, how the Sox respond.
And I wanted to bring that up after you were off the air. But really quick, I know you heard our would you rather question. Would you rather have the ability to travel 10 minutes back in time or 10 minutes into the future?
Yeah, I mean, it's all about the lotto tickets, right? I'm going to go 10 minutes into the future because I can be at the gas station as I'm about to fill out the thing and then find the numbers and fill it out. So I guess I could go back in time and change my card too. So I guess it could work either way. But I'm going to go with 10 minutes in the future. That seems kind of cool.
Yeah, I get confused about the lottery.
I do too.
You're going into the future to get the lottery numbers that came through, and then you're coming back to the present to just get in your ticket, or are you going back to the past to fill out the ticket after the lottery is done in the present? You could do it both ways.
You could do it both ways. But I like the idea, even if it's a sporting event, I like the idea of going in the future and getting the heads up before anyone else. I don't know. I'm picking the future. I don't know exactly why I'm using the lotto tickets as my reason.
I know why, Jess. It's because you could break all of the stories on ESPN.com.
There you go. That's a good
there
idea.
You go.
Passon would be about to submit a story. Yeah.
You'd be Batman.
Jesse.
You'd be Batman.
You'd be Robin. I'd be Batman.
Passon would be Robin.
There you go.
Get out of here, Rosenthal.
Hey, I got one stat for you. Spencer Turnbull tonight. Zero home runs given up this season.
Wow.
Pretty good. Second most innings pitched in baseball. But he gives up walks. The Cubs like to walk. So let's see if they get him on, get him over, and
Javi's
get him in.
He's hitting four
like
tonight.
They did last night.
Javi's going to hit four.
That's Waddle's prediction. Four home runs from Javi.
Four.
Jesse, great work.
Thanks, Jess.
Okay, guys. See
ya. You know, this whole thing about who you be, I want to use an example with the White Sox, why this is important, and why we should just stop talking about it from both sides of town coming up next. And then the Bears topic that's really, really, really close. And we want to hear from you at 312-332-3776.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
It's one of my pet peeves in sports. Why penalize teams for beating the teams that they should? I think the other side of town is a good example of this. We were talking about it with the Cubs in Detroit just now. And I think both fan bases should just shut up about it. The White Sox face the Pirates tonight.
Pirates suck. Yeah.
You were making fun of my guy, Derek Shelton, who I went to college with, who's managing the Pirates.
His managing when he was in town here in Chicago, it was questionable.
And he's back in town.
And you agree, and you won't say it because he's
his fellow
Saluki.
I did. I was very happy with some of his managerial moves when he was here. But look at this. The White Sox they won, 7 out of 8 now? You know, and they had the win streak, and they flashed in front of the Cubs, and everyone was talking about him. And Abreu's the National League Player of the Week. Now, they go back home to their ballpark. They have a team in their ballpark that's 7-17.
Mm-hmm.
If they lose these games to the Pirates, the fan base will be outraged.
They should be.
Right, and that's the point. That the White Sox now, it's more and more important than ever to beat the teams that you're supposed to be at 17-12 as you establish yourselves as one of the better teams in the American League with a good shot to make the playoffs. These are the layups. You can't miss layups.
Listen, isn't this what we've all agreed to? That the first step towards being a championship caliber team is beating the teams you're supposed to beat. So that's step one. Like, if you're just a middle of the pack, a middle of the road, or a middle of the pack team, you don't get all fired up if you lose to the Pirates. But if you're an up and comer and the expectation level has been raised, if you lose to the Pirates or you lose to the Tigers, you know, that sucks.
Especially coming off a series against the Cubs, because then they'll just say, oh, let down. They were too high against the Cubs. So I'm just saying, be happy with any win possible, especially against the bad teams. There are way more bad teams than good teams. Like, think about the Bears season. We were talking about the Bears earlier today. Think about that London game, how important that game was against Oakland. You know what I mean?
They got trucked.
Yes. Like, beat the Raiders. Go to London and beat the damn Raiders.
They got boat raced.
And maybe the rest of the season would have been different. So, can we as a fan base and we as a show on the Waddle and Sylvie show come up with a pact and agree that we will stop calling and stop yelling at the other side of town, say, well, they haven't beaten anybody.
Oh, yeah, we can do that.
You should be proud that your team beats the bad teams.
The only thing that, like, I was busting chops last night saying to you three that, like, gosh, this feels like watching Mitch beat the Lions. Like, You're the Cubs. You should beat the Tigers.
Absolutely.
You don't apologize for the win, but you better beat the Tigers.
I was happy last night.
Of course. I'm very happy.
But I wasn't telling you they're the best team in the world.
Right. And it doesn't change the inquiry that is flying through my brain. Just how damn good is this team? Like, beating the Tigers doesn't prove anything to me about it. Doesn't help me answer that question.
See, I think this series for the White Sox, they haven't played well at home. I think it's a good test for a young team.
Yeah.
Like, coming off of a big high series against the Cubs.
Handling adversity is one thing. Handling success is also another thing.
Right. So if they beat the Pirates, I'll applaud them. Take every win you can. George on the West Side, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Georgie.
Yeah, you know, this is going to be a crummy year anyway with 60 games and everything. So why don't the Cubs trade KB, Rizzo, and the right fielder, Jason Hayward, and move on and get somebody for them while these guys are still worth something?
Nobody's going to trade for those guys, George. Nobody's going to give up anything of quality, I think, at this point.
There's nobody who's, there's no one buying big like willing to sell the farm when this year isn't guaranteed.
Yeah, there's so many. Like, how would you feel if you traded for any of those guys and for whatever reason, God forbid, the season gets canceled or paused because there's some sort of outbreak that infects a ton of the teams?
Yes. I lost a bet to one of our listeners. I'm actually paying off the bet by going on his podcast tomorrow. Thursday it is. What day is today? Tuesday. The bet was a pizza, and he goes, look, you can get out of the pizza if you do my podcast. I'm like, that's fine. That's cool. So I'm going to do his podcast on Thursday. Because it's Andy, right? Yeah, Andy.
Yeah.
And have you gone on with Andy yet?
I have not.
Andy Summers, I believe.
Yeah, he's reached out to me, and I've been occupied with previous commitments. I haven't been able to do it.
I promised Andy that someone from the core would have been traded this last offseason. And I would, and just like Jesse said, I would probably bet on that again last year. I still don't think it was a bad bet. I know Theo was frustrated and Theo was looking for the right deal, but they can't just keep trotting the same guys out. They will, I bet, in this offseason, trade someone.
I'd make that bet with you.
What, you think they'll keep him?
No. I'd make the bet. I would subsidize your bet and say, I'm with you. Let's bet large amounts of money that they'll move somebody.
332-3776, Andrew and Bartlett. Hey, Drew.
Hey, how's it going, you guys? Huge fan of the show. I watch you guys almost every day. I listen to you guys.
Thank you.
What do you guys think about the Bears' offense coming into the season with really like little to no offensive line help in the offseason or draft? I mean, it really scares me as a huge fan. I mean, I'm so excited, but I just don't know what to expect. So what do you guys think?
I think if you look at their offensive line, it's a concern to me as well. When Sylvie asked us to put together our five, how did you title it? But the five guys that you're most concerned about?
Yeah, that are important to the team that are on the spot or concerned about.
Two of my five were offensive linemen.
You can make a case for four out of the five.
No doubt. I do believe that there needs to be significant improvement. Like, I thought the group played collectively pretty dang well in 18. Last year, I don't think anybody really played well. And they're going to need that offensive line to create some space in the running game to take some pressure off of whoever the quarterback is. So, it's a concern for me. No doubt.
Can't you argue that besides quarterback, offensive line is where they're lacking the most stars? They have a star at a wide receiver at Allen Robinson. You know, running back, yeah, probably not. But every level of the defense, they've got someone really good. You know, defensive line, your linebackers.
I don't know if Jimmy Graham's a star anymore.
Well, the tight end, right. I mean,
I don't know if, you know, any of their running backs are stars. I don't think anyone on the offensive line is a star.
It's the entire offense then.
Yeah.
Except Allen Robinson.
I mean, I think, I think, you know, if you look at that offense, I think, you know, you play with Cody Whitehair in your huddle every time. You'll play with Allen Robinson in your huddle every time. And then, you know, you got guys. So, I mean, I think Tariq Cohen can play a role. I don't think he's an every down player. I think there are times. I thought in 2018, Charles Leno was a little bit above average, and I thought actually played well. But for the most part, that whole offense, I think you come into the 2020 season with questions about all of them, and you don't apologize for questioning them.
So if you want to weigh in 332-3776 and participate in the thing that we gave our list on, name a player other than a quarterback that is an important player that's really on the spot this year for the Bears that you want to see step up and play better. 332-3776. Bears fans are split on the playoffs. I'll share that with you. And Matt Nagy, not happy for another day about his quarterbacks. That next.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
One of my favorites as far as the intro music that we have. Absolutely love it. Hope you're having a great Tuesday on your drive home.
Big Kenny Chesney fan, aren't you?
It's just a good hook, isn't it,
though? It's a country song.
Yeah. What'd you call me? One of the countrymen?
Countrymen.
You're a countryman.
Hey, all of us over here are. Sylvie, are you?
You know what? I was actually listening to another show today that was playing some country, and I was thinking to myself, should I become a countryman?
Yeah.
I listened to more of it, and I'm like, nah, I'll stick with
mine. Give me
some Luke Combs.
Luke Combs is great.
Zach Brown Band.
We're not countrymen, though. I mean, like, that's the dumbest, like, name tag of all time.
I still like current music, just current pop.
It is current music.
When the Taylor Swift album dropped,
I've been itching for Sylvie's Taylor Swift analysis because this
what's
is
the song?
Not,
Betty?
It's not like her.
Betty.
It was more dark, wasn't it, Abdallah?
No, it's not dark. It's good.
Who wronged her this time?
It's what do you mean?
Is it an old boyfriend?
Everyone.
It's still Calvin Harris. What do you mean?
Oh, is it? Same?
I'm still a Swiftie.
Calvin Harris.
John Mayer.
Yeah.
John Mayer.
But I'm just saying, is the theme of all her music still,
yes.
you know, guys,
yeah.
you
oh,
have
yeah.
relationships
have
gone wrong?
But yes. this one is very, it's not dark. I would just say it's not depressing. It's not pop
music.
How does one it's artist folk. Have that much angst in them over the same situation?
You know how many different guys that she's dated that have That's broken up with her because she lives with her cats? Her and her
she hasn't found the one
cats.
Yet.
Does she not have a mirror in her house? Maybe every
what
now
does
and
that
again.
Mean?
I'm just saying. Maybe sometimes.
Like, hold on.
Maybe sometimes you got to look at yourself and say maybe it's not always that person. Maybe
like,
it's us, or maybe part of it is me.
I don't think you understand the wrath that you are going to receive if this gets out to social
yeah,
media.
The Swifties are going to come after you. I don't mess with Swifties. Yeah. You know. I am part of.
I got
the
a house full of daughters. I'm sure that listen to the music.
As she says in the new album, she's on her new blank.
Yeah,
you can fill in with that.
The formula's worked. How would you ever argue with her formula? She is like the mega richest of the rich right now.
Is money the most important thing in your life?
Well, she's popular. She's rich.
I mean,
she's
she
got
writes
everything.
Good songs.
I know so why Chris, do you need of me?
Chris, I know that Chris Stapleton's coming out with a new album.
Yeah.
I believe
yeah.
in a week.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
You guys want to gather together and the countrymen can listen to the how that
Let's have a
album
Zoom
drops?
Party. Can we have a Zoom party?
I was outed by many of you, too, just like Taylor Swift, for a long time for not being married until I was 40 or 41. Yurko didn't treat me with respect until I got married. Many of my friends who were married wouldn't want to go out with me because I was still single. People treated me differently once I settled down and got married. And I think that's quite frankly unfair.
You quit being a red ass.
I think it's unfair. I really do.
I think you quit being a red ass.
I think we should all dress up like we're going to be in the movie Tombstone and listen to the new Chris Stapleton album.
I think that like friends of yours that had wives, when they sat down for dinner with you, didn't want to go over and over and over why the Cubs lineup can't win enough.
Hey, guys, how about them Bulls moves?
Yeah, like, I hate the front office. Mark, really, we're just trying to have a few drinks and go out and loosen up and have a good time.
What about Garpax? Can you believe they're still there?
Yeah.
I
think we've solved your problem.
I think
you solved your problem.
Yeah, I want Sylvie to write a Taylor Swift album, but it's all the GMs and players that have wronged him.
Oh, that's good. That's good, Abdallah.
Scar Pax, your Calvin
collaborate.
Harris.
Will you be my Calvin Harris?
That's like that no, relationship
he wronged
is,
her. They
is...
They didn't collaborate. He wronged her.
Oh, yeah. He wronged her. Yeah.
So, no,
yeah.
I will not
Who
be
does she collaborate with? Who does she collaborate with?
So, basically, with? She put out an album with The National. The National is a band. They're like, they drink a lot of wine. They're older. They wear a lot of sweaters.
Sweaters. That kind of thing.
He's got a very deep voice. Basically, they just made an album where she became the lead singer of The National and put out this album that's like very mature and very like
I just want her to be
poppy.
Happy.
Yeah, okay, well, she's happy.
She sounds happy?
Is
yeah,
she?
I mean,
yeah, don't critique.
She sounds content in her decisions.
Okay. Good. How long ago was the Calvin Harris experiment?
A few years ago, were they together for a while?
Yeah, her and John Mayer were together for a while too.
I knew that. Yeah. Who else?
John Mayer's been with everybody though.
I mean, yeah.
Excuse me?
It's true. Jennifer Aniston, right? I mean, you can.
John Mayer gets down.
Well, he plays a mean guitar, so I mean, it gets.
He's in Dead & Company now.
Yeah.
So here's
again. I don't. So who? What are the? It went from John Mayer to Calvin Harris, who's a DJ, right?
Yes.
And then.
And then there's an actor, a British actor, but I think he's gone.
Who was that?
It's not
know, some guy.
Patch now, was it? No.
No, it was the other guy. I think he was in the Avengers. I don't know.
Now we're really breaking it down.
But here's why the Calvin Harris thing sticks. Because there's a song on the new album that clearly is about Calvin
What's
Harris.
It called?
I think it's the one.
I Hate You, Calvin Harris. Is that the name of it?
It's the Calvin Harris ballad.
I Hate You, Calvin, and I Will Always Hate You.
I can do some research and get back to you.
She dated a Jonas. She dated Taylor Lautner. She dated
all kinds of.
Oh, Jake Gyllenhaal for a while?
Yeah, there's a lot of people.
Really?
Yeah.
Some people are happy being sad, you know? You never know.
Harry Styles for a little bit, it looks like. Tom Hiddleston. That's the guy I was thinking of.
Hiddleston.
Hit or miss?
Let's take some calls, okay?
It was hit or miss.
Whether it's Taylor Swift or sports. Tony in Wrigleyville, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Tone.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
We're good.
Off the rails.
Yeah, so I just wanted to comment on, you said who we want to see a big year out of for the Bears. And, I mean, obviously we could say, you know, Khalil Mack or whoever, but I'm thinking Eddie Pinheiro. We got to get this kicking game figured out. He did good last year, but, you know, we lost against the Chargers because of a missed field goal. I know there were a couple more. Blanking on them right now, but just want to hear your guys' thoughts.
Well, Tony, don't think that I mean, he didn't make my top five, but that doesn't mean that he's not important. And again, for an offense that I believe averaged 17.5 points last year, when the points aren't rolling, I think your kicker's more important because he's going to get more opportunities because you're less efficient at moving the football. So, look, I'm not undervaluing Eddie Pinheiro.
I want it fixed, but like to say that Eddie Pinheiro is more important than your second corner or your second wide receiver or your inside linebacker like Roquan Smith
all the time.
Yeah, like I think there are more important guys on this team. The offensive line, like you said, Chris in Naperville, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, Chris.
Hey, guys, thanks for having me on. Sure. Go Palookis, former SIU Palookie.
Do it like a big dog, Chris.
Woof, woof.
So a couple guys I'm looking for big seasons this year on the defensive side of the football, Roquan Smith. 2018, you know, he showed some really big-time flashes as being like the next Bears linebacker, big-time playmaker. And then last year, you know, you saw a couple off the field incidents, just didn't kind of have that next step that we were hoping for. And then on the offensive side of the ball, would really like to see Cody Whitehair and James Daniels kind of sort out the guard center position. You know, those are two guys that you're really hoping can become staples and pillars of your offensive line for next year and going forward. Thanks for taking my call.
No doubt. Listen, I think Roquan Smith has the talent to be the next superstar on that defense. Like we've seen superstar performance from Eddie Jackson. I'd like to see him get back to how he played a couple years ago. But I think Roquan Smith has that ability if he's consistent and he's dialed in.
Yeah, there's a lot. I mean, like, we know he's got the talent.
The talent is there.
There's been some questions each year, you know, about not only the play, but the dependability of the player.
Right.
The poll question, will the Bears make the NFL playoffs? It's nearly 50-50, guys. Nearly 4,000 votes. Vote on my Twitter page. It's brought to you by your local Chicagoland Toyota dealer. 50.2% say yes, they will make the postseason. 49.8% say no. It's as close as you get right there.
Yeah, it is.
And I want to play you Matt Nagy here, Chris. If we could play that Matt Nagy 2, the first one that we played about the quarterbacks again today. This is about, doesn't he start about the accuracy again? Every quarterback question seems to start with Matt Nagy. Where the question is framed, was Mitch's accuracy any better today? And this is how he explained it.
Today, you look at both quarterbacks. You asked about Mitch, and there was a couple balls that I think he would want back, a few here or there, that just, you know, with the accuracy might not be exactly what he wanted. I thought with Nick too, I thought both of them, there was a couple of progressions where with the eyes, making sure that especially in 7-on-7, maybe test it downfield instead of taking a check down. I thought you saw a little bit of that from both of them today. So in 7-on is a good time to test it, even if it's not so much the greatest read, test it and see what some of these players can do. So that's okay though. We just keep rolling. We keep, you know, getting after it.
Are you saying they didn't test it enough today?
I didn't think they, not today. I didn't think they did. I didn't think they tested enough today. But I got to go see the tape. I could be totally wrong, and they're telling me you're an idiot, so it could be true.
I have not heard one day yet, and he has played it close to the vest. I don't think he is, and I think he's doing it purposely. I don't think he is giving you a lot of insight into where his mind and the coaching and the offensive coaching staff is at in terms of this competition. But I haven't heard one day where Matt Nagy has met the media and said, guys, they ripped it today. Like either Nick
ripped it. Is he doing that intentionally though? Or have they been as bad as he's saying?
I don't know. That's my point is like there's not been a day where he came out and said Mitch ripped it today or Nick ripped it or both ripped it today. Like every question about the quarterbacks, you hear him kind of
hem and haw
and I think it's both, Sylvia. I don't think he wants to commit, and at the same time I don't think he's truly in love with what he sees from either.
Okay.
But again, I think this comes down to if you've got two guys that are playing at an unimpressive level, what does it come down to? Doesn't it come down to trust, especially when you've had such little contact with everyone? And then you just ask yourself the question of these two guys, neither who have impressed me in training camp, which one is most likely to screw up? Isn't that the litmus test? All things considered?
Well, I think it's the trust thing. It goes back.
Right.
Same way in just describing
trust. Well, that's
trust.
The ultimate trust question. Yes. Which one of these guys is most likely to mess up in a crucial moment? I think that however Matt would answer that question is obviously, you know, he's going with the guy that he trusts more, for sure.
All right. 312-332-3776. If you want to weigh in on the topic at hand, and also the brand new local morning show, Cap and Hoodie, they've been awesome. Cap and Jay Hood. But why I've become Jonathan Hood's John Gruden next.
This hour brought to you by Trend Micro Cloud One, the world's leading security services platform for cloud builders. Visit trendmicro.com/ESPN for more info.
What is your name, please?
Waddle and Sylvie.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _Chicago. This is ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Absolutely love the new lineup on ESPN 1000. It's not easy when you get a new partner. And I think that Cap and Jonathan Hood have meshed in like 7 days, quicker than most. That show is really good.
I agree.
7 to 10 every
single
day.
Well done, fellas.
Right here on ESPN 1000. We'll bicker back and forth. That's what we do. And we'll never agree on quarterbacks. Yeah.
So do you guys think that Cap knows that was Abdallah calling yet?
I would think by now.
Let's the young fella know that that's not okay to do that. You know?
I think most of the people in the Abdallah hive are muted anyway by Cap. They've already been muted.
I heard today that somebody called in to apologize and said that Cap had blocked him several years ago, and Cap made the gesture that he would unblock him.
Yeah, we spent a day like 3 weeks ago where Cap was going to unmute
block everybody
and unblock all these people. And then he turned it to Sylvie and said that Sylvie had to come up with a list of fans and listeners
who have been blocked, and once Sylvie comes up with the list, he will unblock them.
And I,
so
know
I don't.
What was
I don't think
on.
He
why
ever. Would, actually,
why didn't he connect those dots to Sylvie?
He didn't want to actually.
I think he wanted
it.
People bothering me on Twitter.
Well, and he wanted what he said. Don't look at here. Look over there.
Yes.
Don't look here. Look over there.
Exactly.
Nothing's going on here. Go over there.
Hoodie is a man with many voices, and I have become one of the featured voices. And I haven't heard either of these yet.
Haven't you been on his mind for years on this front?
Well, yeah. I mean, I've got an annoying nasally voice.
That's not true, but I'm just saying Hoodie has been imitating you for a while.
Yes, and many people. He does many different voices. Yeah. So, and I've heard much of the show, but I still have yet to hear both of these impersonations. So, Bleck, where should we start, today or last week?
Let's go with today.
I heard today. I didn't hear last week.
Okay, earlier today, 44 Grams was on with you guys yesterday, right?
Yes.
He called into the show yesterday?
Yes.
He sent a tweet in for Take That Tuesday with the guys. So here's that audio.
Take Out Tuesday?
Take That Tuesday.
Take Out Tuesday.
Take, isn't every day a Take That?
Take That Tuesday.
Isn't every Take
Yes, you can
take
send in
every
your
day.
Take That.
Take Out Tuesday. You say Pam?
Pam.
Pan?
Pam. Here is Cap'n Jay Hood earlier today.
Our guy, 448 Grams, he definitely sent me a message that said, want to have you guys out for a barbecue.
I think that means we're just cool.
Okay.
I think that's what that meant. I mean, I'd love to go to his barbecue if he's inviting us. Anyways, he says on Twitter, I asked Sylvie for a pizza bet that the Sox will win more regular season games than the Cubs, and Sylvie declined. Guess he only likes food bets on the Cubs when they play the Reds. Take that, Sylvie.
If it was a sandwich bet, he would have been all for it.
Waddle, how about a sandwich bet?
It was not. He doesn't go for the pizza bet, but sandwich bet, Waddle? Absolutely. He would have been down for the sandwich bet, that is for sure.
I like that a week and a half in, you've already rubbed off on Cap to the point, Hoodie, where he's doing your impersonation of Sylvie, which is excellent.
Exactly.
Very meta.
Well said by Mellor.
Shout out to Mellor.
Yeah.
Cap is the Ryan Dempster of the show, where he's actually doing his Harry Carey is actually Will Ferrell's Harry Carey that he's doing.
That's wonderful.
Take Out Tuesday. Send that email.
So what was last week? Last week was more about me being hungover. Is that what it was?
So
I miss hungover Sylvie voice, too. And that's coming from me.
Yeah, this is the story from Jonathan about your voice changing after a night of drinking.
By the way, people, I guess I'm going to knock down the fourth wall here with Sylvie. So you can always tell when Sylvie's had a great weekend or a great night, because, usually it's just like, Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, 312, like that, right? but after a night out, man, he comes in and you're just like, Sylvie, what's up, man?
Hey, what's going on, buddy? What's up? See the Cubs game yesterday? I'm like, whoa, you almost had a great night. Like, what do you mean, man? Everything's good. Everything's good. What's up, man? What up, man? So it's like, wait a minute. It's like, how's your voice deeper than mine? It's like you can always tell, like 215.
And don't forget the hat's pulled down when he gets into the, he's got all the way, is like the brim of the hat is like basically covering to his nose, so you can't even see what's going on with his eyes.
But hey, that's true. Like you can't see his eyes, and then all of a sudden the voice is so deeper. You can know he's been out, and I've been out with him, so I know. Just like, hey, man,
like
what's
a
up?
Sponge. I traveled with him to Utah. I've never seen a human being be able to like that, size. He's like this little guy, and
he and I toe-to-toe. It's pretty good. It's pretty fascinating. What's up, man? How you doing? How about them Cubs game last night? I'm like, wait, what happened? What happened to Waddle and Sylvie? ESPN 1000. 312. Like, what happened to that?
Where'd that guy go?
anyway. It's like, wait a minute.
Party voice. It's party voice.
Party voice.
Yeah.
I miss that.
You are a talented drinker. I will say that.
It's been since the end of April.
Go slow when you come back.
Oh, I know. Someone said to me the other day, I forget who it was. They're like, you're going to be a cheap date.
Yeah.
Go slow. One or two is going to just floor me. Yeah. But I can't wait for that day. Coming soon, hopefully.
Yeah. Guess what's coming soon now?
The baseball show.
Boom! The boys are back.
Yeah, so Bleck and Abdallah with the baseball show. Anything you guys are covering that we didn't?
Yeah, let's talk about this. If you guys had to pick a MVP for the Cubs and the White Sox today, since we're at the halfway point of this 60-game season, what would you pick?
Luis Robert on the south side.
Really? Interesting, interesting.
Yes, yes.
I wasn't
going to
go there.
Maybe I mean, does Abreu get?
I think Abreu. You might have to.
I would give it to Abreu. The Cubs answer is very easy. The White Sox is up for
the debate. Is the Cubs answer easy?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
The Cubs answer is Yu Darvish.
Yeah, what about Ian Happ?
Yeah, that's good.
Ian Happ's been one of the best players in baseball to this point.
He's cooled down lately.
It was a rough weekend.
When the sample size expands, becomes less impressive.
I'm still going Robert. I'll go Robert and Darvish.
I'm going Darvish and Abreu.
All right, good, good picks. That's what we're going to talk about. We're leading you into the Cubs and the Tigers at 6:10, and then the White Sox and the Pirates a little bit later on tonight. Giolito on the mound for the White Sox.
Nice.
So call the guys, 312-332-3776. Thanks to Jesse Rogers and Dan Plesak. Great work by Black and Abdallah, who are coming up in two minutes from right now. For Waddle, I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Tuesday night.
Instant classic!
That was a big threat.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away, waddle, waddle, till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all and to all a good night.